when we do an individual experiment, we offer the treatment to an experimental unit that most of the times it's an animal or could be a pen, it depends. And then we evaluate this data, we do the statistical analysis to test hypotheses. A meta-analysis pretty much, instead of feeding the animal, like each study with their means, it's an experimental unit. It's pretty much a study of studies. It's a statistical tool we use to gather information that normally is published. And we can have a broad interpretation about a subject.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. Today, I'm very happy to welcome to the show my friend and colleague, also from Michigan State, Jose Dos Santos Neto. Jose is an assistant professor here in the Department of Animal Science at MSU. Jose, thanks for joining today.
Thanks, Dr. Bradford. Thanks for having me here. I'm very excited for our conversation.
So we can maybe start with a little bit of your background. From your accent, probably people can tell you're not from Michigan originally. Could you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got involved in agriculture?
Yeah, so I'm from Brazil. I'm Brazilian. I'm from the Northeast region of Brazil, from the state of Paraíba. It's a very nice state. Like, normally people, when they go to Brazil, they go to São Paulo or Rio. Like, Rio de Janeiro is likely the most famous city in Brazil. But in the Northeast region, we have pretty good cities to visit as well. Like, my state, the capital of my state, the name is João Pessoa. It might be a hard name for people in the U.S. to say. But it's a very nice city, like people should go and visit it there. So I'm from that state, and 80% of the area of my state semi-arid, and we have a lot of goats there in the backlands, and in the coast region of the state, we have a lot of sugarcane. So I was raised in that environment in a very small city. My uncle, he has a sugarcane farm, and I had contact with agriculture and livestock since I was a kid, and that's pretty much how I started get interest in animal science. My undergrad program is in animal science. I got that from the Federal University of Paraíba. That's the largest college in my state as well. And master's and PhD in Brazil, also in animal science. And during my PhD, during my master's, I worked with small ruminants. My study focused on macro mineral requirements for small ruminants. And during my PhD, I moved to dairy cows. And I had the opportunity to come here to the MSU, to Michigan State University, stay here and work with Dr. Locke for 1 year as a visiting scholar, then as a postdoc, and now I'm with this new position. I got stuck here at Michigan, and I love it here. It's a very nice state and very nice college as well.
It sounds like throughout your graduate work, at least, you were focused on nutrition. But, you know, when I think of your skill set, in addition to knowing nutrition very well, you bring a lot of math expertise, right? And like, tell me how you sort of got into this using quantitative tools to better understand nutrition requirements.
Yeah, so I always like it, like STEM, like mathematics especially. During my undergrad, I was I had very good scores in statistics. I remember I had two stats classes during my undergrad, basic stats and experimental stats, and I really loved that. And since my undergrad program, I was the guy that was into statistics. I learned how to run stats as well using SAS initially. And I remember I used it to run the stats for some of my friends, even people that were doing her master's and PhD. I used to help them even as an undergrad student. During my master's, I still work with small ruminants, macro mineral requirements. It has a lot of worked with a lot of equations to set growth and maintenance requirements. And one thing I forgot to say is that during my master's, I had the opportunity to go to Texas A&M University. I work a little bit with Dr. Luis Tedeschi, and he has a strong modeling background. And that's how I get into that. When I came here to MSU, I remember the first thing I did with Dr. Locke was a meta-analysis using individual data. We evaluate the effect of different fatty acids on odd and branched chain milk fatty acids, like different fatty acid supplements on those odd and branched chain fatty acids. We try to relate some of those milk fatty acids with NDF digestibility. And was the first thing I have done here. And I think Dr. Locke liked this background. And I've been working with him since then. So that's pretty much how I got into associating nutrition and large data analytics overall.
So you threw out a term there that we want to focus on today that, you know, people that are not in the research world maybe haven't heard of. So if you could explain to me what you mean by meta-analysis and a little bit of how it works, that'd be great.
Yeah, like a meta-analysis, we can do an analogy here. Like when we do an individual experiment, we offer the treatment to an experimental unit that most of the times it's an animal or could be a pen, it depends. And then we evaluate this data, we do the statistical analysis to test hypotheses. A meta-analysis pretty much, instead of feeding the animal, like each study with their means, it's an experimental unit. It's pretty much a study of studies. It's a statistical tool we use to gather information that normally is published. And we can have a broad interpretation about a subject. It's pretty much a study of studies. And it's getting very popular in animal science. We have pretty much two types of meta-analysis. The most common is a meta-analysis using aggregate data. That's like when you search for papers that are published or theses and dissertations, and then you get the average, the means, from those studies and do an overall statistical analysis. That's a type of meta-analysis. And also we can do meta-analysis with individual data. That's when you have access to the raw data and you can use individual participant data. You also gather information from different studies, but in that case, you have access to the individual data. But the most common is an aggregate meta-analysis because it's easier to search for papers that were published and do a meta-analysis to get an overall interpretation about a subject. That's pretty much a meta-analysis. It sounds complicated. And when you are doing meta-analysis, you have to understand some basic statistic concepts. But the end product is very practical because it's going to give an overall summary of, let's say, amino acid supplementation, fatty acid supplementation. You get all the available information and do the statistical analysis, and that's going to say, okay, if you feed, palmitic acid, that's going to increase milk fat yield. And the end product is very practical. By the way, like the NASEN, is pretty much a big compilation of meta-analysis. And that's something that nutritionists and producers, they can take a meta-analysis and take their conclusions when reading it.
Yeah, so the NASM is the nutrient requirements of dairy cattle, right? And you're right. It helps those people putting that compilation together. If other people have already compiled the evidence on one nutrient, right? So they can start looking at other questions and the bigger questions. Okay, so basically what you're saying is a meta-analysis is a quantitative way to look at all the studies that have already been done on some question and sort of combine them so we can get like an overall answer. Because I know this comes up a lot when I talk with dairy producers is we may test the effect of, you know, an amino acid or whatever, and they intuitively know often that the responses of animals may be dependent on all the factors around a study, like what was the overall diet you were feeding? Is it first lactation animals or older? Is it early lactation or not? So how does a meta-analysis help sort of understand those nuances of, you know, maybe affecting some animals and not others? Is there a way that can help with that?
Yes, there is, certainly. Some hypotheses, they are hard to test in an individual study because we have limitations in every study. Yes, we cannot test everything. But when you have a large amount of data about a subject, and let's say a treatment or an amino acid was tested under different circumstances, then a meta-analysis could help with that. It could help us to test hypotheses that are hard to test under a regular individual experiment. For example, it might be challenging, it's possible, but it might be very challenging to do an experiment evaluating the interaction between a nutrient, a dietary nutrient, and seasons. Like, it would be a long study, you would have to block your animals for each season, that would be a challenge. But if you have done several studies over the years evaluating that nutrient under different factors, then a meta-analysis could help with that. That's something we could do when we have a large amount of data. That's how a meta-analysis could help understand it. Other thing, like you said, we have different diets. Like we feed a nutrient, a dietary ingredient under different diets, and that's something we can test in a meta-analysis. It's possible. That's how a meta-analysis could help. It could help us to not just formulate, but investigate hypotheses that would be hard to test under a regular individual experiment.
Perfect. So maybe you could talk us through as an example what you've learned from meta-analyses you've done around fatty acids for dairy cattle.
Yeah, for dairy cattle, we have published two meta-analysis evaluating three different commercial fatty acid supplement products. The first meta-analysis was evaluating calcium salts of palm fatty acids. And overall, like the summary of the meta-analysis, that feeding calcium salts increases the yield of milk fat. It also increases NDF digestibility, but it reduced dry matter intake. So maybe the response on NDF digestibility could be related to the decrease in dry matter intake. For sure, it's a possibility. And in another meta-analysis, we tried to test commercial fatty acid supplements focusing on individual fatty acids. And I think they may take home message for the second meta-analysis evaluating saturated fatty acid supplements is that feeding palmitic acid greatly increases milk yield and NH-corrected milk. And palmitic acid also has a consistent response on increasing NDF digestibility. And that's something interesting because that's kind of a recent knowledge we have, because overall we thought that fatty acid supplements would decrease NDF digestibility. But palmitic acid specifically, we have a lot of evidence showing that palmitic acid greatly increases NDF digestibility without a reduction in dry matter intake, like calcium salts. So it might be some effect on the microorganism in the rumen. Yes, and just recently we also published another meta-analysis. Like those two I just told to you, they are from aggregate data. We collected the information from published studies, from especially from peer-reviewed manuscripts. But we just published a recent one using our individual data and trying to understand what is the impact of fatty acid supplementation on milk fatty acids when we evaluate those milk fatty acids on a molar basis. Because normally we report yields in grams per day and concentration, grams per 100 grams of fatty acids. And then we evaluate on molar basis because during milk triglyceride synthesis, a fatty acid like stearic acid, it has 18 carbons, okay? It's heavier than C4. But during the milk triglyceride synthesis, we have only three spots during the fat synthesis. And you can have a molecule of C4 and C18. And when you evaluate on a molar base, that can help better, it can help us to better understand the biochemistry mechanism of fat synthesis. So we just published that. It's a paper from Alex Benoit. She was Dr. Locke's master's student. And that was the most recent one, meta-analysis we just published.
And for those who are many years past their last chemistry class, a molar ratio is basically referring to the number of molecules as opposed to the weight of that fatty acid, right? So what insights did you gain from that meta-analysis?
Well, we get that some, for example, it's common to see when you feed palmitic acid a decrease in the yield of de novo fatty acid. But when you evaluate that on a molar basis, there is no effect. So that's the main take-home message from this meta-analysis.
It's just that the average de novo fatty acid is shorter in that scenario than if you're not feeding palmitic acid. Is that true?
Yes. I would say that when we are comparing with a control diet, on a molar base, palmitic acid is not decreasing de novo. And sometimes when you are evaluating grams per day, we might observe a decrease in the yield of de novo fatty acids.
Cal Manager's unique ear sensor measures ear temperature combined with eating, rumination, and activity, resulting in more accurate and earlier alerts. With Cal Manager, you can catch sick cows days before they show clinical signs, never miss a heat, and unlock your herd's full potential. Cal Manager provides 24/7 real-time insights to help improve herd health, fertility, and overall performance. To learn more, contact your Cal Manager specialist at Select Sires or visit calmanager.com. If you're tired of juggling paperwork, spreadsheets, and multiple systems, BovaSync makes herd management simple. It's a software designed for producers, helping you track health, breeding, and performance all in one place, while improving labor efficiency and cutting down on time spent entering data. That means fewer hours in the office and more time where it matters most, working with your herd. Learn more at BovaSync.com and see how simple and efficient herd management can be.
Well, one topic we wanted to touch on, and we may not have all the information we'd like to have, but really across species, nutritionists think a lot about ratios of energy to protein, right? And then if you get more detail, it's ratios of energy to essential amino acids and that sort of thing. And really in dairy nutrition, because of the complexity of the rumen and a lot of the amino acids coming from there, we don't really, or haven't in the past, talked about that very much. But do you see room, and maybe you can share what you know, on using these meta-analysis techniques to help us better understand how energy and protein interact in a dairy cow?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I might say that even for performing individual studies, there are a lot of interactions we still have to explore, a lot of them, you know. Just recently, Dr. Locke published a paper. I don't know if it's published. It was accepted. Evaluating the interaction between fatty acid supplementation and amino acid supplementation to early lactation dairy cows. And the response were very good. It's a paper from Hai Paralis. And in addition to the immediate responses increasing milk fat yield and milk protein yield, we also observe a carryover effect. And some of those interactions, not just amino acid and energy, but also with vitamins and minerals, we still have to investigate under individual studies. But for sure, meta-analysis could help with that. There is a type of meta-analysis called network meta-analysis. It's when you gather information from different papers and you compare multiple treatments, even though the paper is not reporting, let's say, both treatments at the same time. That's a technique we could use to try to fill the gap of some of those interactions. But I would say that we still have a lot of work to do regarding individual studies, testing those interactions between different nutrients. And let's say this study I just said was an interaction during the too early lactation dairy cows. But what about middle lactation dairy cows? You know, we have a lot of factors to explore in the individual studies, but I believe this network meta-analysis could help us to do this as well.
Yeah, and I think the example you gave of using meta-analysis to at least strongly conclude that palmitic acid can enhance fiber digestibility, I think is a nice example of giving insight into sometimes 2 + 2 = 5, right? If we can make the right choices, but we have to have the right information, right? So have you sat down and thought about how that might influence sort of the return on investment on feeding a palmitic acid supplement, for example, if you get better fiber digestion in that case?
Well, I don't have the exact numbers here, but it's good you mentioned that because the current models, they don't take into account the secondary effect of palmitic acid. Like every time we open up a formulation software, and if you put palmitic acid there, the digestible energy is underestimated because it's not taking into account the effect of palmitic acid on NDF digestibility. And there is another thing that a meta-analysis or a modeling study using large data analytics could help us with, like adjust those models to take into account those other effects. That's one good example. Like palmitic acids increase NDF digestibility, the models don't take it into account.
Yeah, and I guess on the flip side, to my knowledge, current models also don't take into account the very well-established relationship between starch and decreased fiber digestion, right? So that's also not factored into the energy calculations when we're making diets.
Yeah, for sure. And another aspect as well, where like large data analytics and meta-analysis overall could help. In this case, let's say a meta-analytical study evaluate modeling the effect of palmitic acid on fiber digestibility, like using individual data would be great. Like here at MSU, we have a very large data set evaluated and might be something we could do in the future. But other aspect is like some of the post-absorptive effects, those models, they don't take into account. We also know that, let's say, palmitic acid greatly increase energy partitioning to the mammary gland. Actually, the NASEM model has a positive adjustment for palmitic acid when estimating milk fat yield. But we still can improve that. Another thing, like, for example, oleic acid, it might increase energy partition to body weight. That's something the models, they don't take into account as well. And I think we could do a better job doing this type of adjustment. And I'm pretty sure I'm talking about fatty acids because my PhD, most of my work were in R with fatty acids, but I'm pretty sure we have that for individual amino acids as well, or interactive effects with vitamins and or even minerals. So that's something, yeah, we would have to improve in the models predicting the animal response.
Well, this may be a hard question, Jose, but if I put on my dairy manager hat and not a nutritionist perspective, you're talking about a specific type of large data set analysis when we talk about meta analysis, right? But with growing farm size, with cheaper, faster computers every year, and now with large language models, right? What do you see might be some opportunities for herd managers to sort of try to utilize some of these large data analyses to make decisions on their farms? Have you thought about that very much?
Yes. We have a revolution right now with AI, and certainly we can do a lot of good things with that. There are some tools that you can use, and let's say you can take a published meta-analysis and upload it to the AI, and that's going to give you a summary of that. And some specific tools, they don't have a lot of external influence. You have to upload like Google LM Notebook. It can even create a podcast. And I think like for producers and nutritionists, like everyone is busy nowadays, they can pull out the information for good papers and get a summary, a trustable summary. I think that's how AI could help them. And even formulating diets, although I think that the human aspect is still important to make sure everything is correct.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's interesting to think about. We'll I'm sure be amazed by what's happening in the next few years and dismayed sometimes as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think so. Right now, AI is reducing the gap between, let's say, very good writers. That is still a very good feature to have. But AI is reducing it. I think from now on, like communication skills will be very important. Things that are less machine related. So that would be an advantage for people that are able to communicate very well.
Yep.
Orally.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Support faster recovery when cows face inflammatory pressure. Contact AHV to discover the new Aspie formula. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rangin Livestock Nutrition. We partner with a purpose. Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to deliver cost-effective solutions for the animal health and productivity challenges you face. For conventional or organic production systems, Natural Biologics can help support rumen health and immune function, mitigate pathogens, and increase production efficiency. Visit naturalbiologics.com to learn more.
Okay, well, that's a good lead into our three famous questions that we ask all of our guests. So our first one is, what is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Okay, my favorite dairy-related book is a lipid Bible. Dr. Locke calls it the lipid Bible. It's Lipid Metabolism in Ruminant Animals by William Christie. It's a classic book. It's a notebook, but it's very good to read, especially to get into the specifics of lipid metabolism. And also another classic one, I don't have a hard copy of the Lipid Bible, but another one is this one here from Van Soest, The Nutritional Ecology of the Ruminant. This is a classical one. A lot of things changed, but I think it's still an essential book. And of course, the Nascent and the previous NRC versions as well. And I would say that the Journal of Dairy Science is a fantastic source for people working in this industry. And JDS Communications as well. Like JDS Communication has the advantage that they publish short communications, so it would be a faster reading. But yeah, I would put those sources.
Okay, very good. What about a favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Okay, I don't have a favorite book. It's like if you ask to me what's my favorite move, my answer would change depending on the day or the situation. Like regarding movies, for example, like The Godfather would be top three. It would change depending on the day, first, second, or third. And the same for books. Like there is a Brazilian book called, I think they translate it from Portuguese to English. The title they translate as The Devil to Pay in the Backlands. It's a classical Brazilian book.
Okay.
From Graciliano Ramos. It's a novel. It has some elements of fantastic literature. But at the same time, you also understand some social aspects of one specific part of Brazil. It's one of my favorite books for sure. But targeting this audience, I really like biographies. And I love history, reading about history as well. And I read this book. It took a while for me to finish. It's a biography of FDR, the former American president. It by Jean Edward Smith. You can see, like, I took, I think, 2 years to finish to read it. I was reading a little bit, but it's a great book. I think we can get very good insights from this because he was a great leader, a great man, and during very challenging times, the Great Depression and, like, World War, we can get some insights from his life and try to apply that in our daily lives as well. A book I'm reading, I would like to recommend, is this one here. I'm slowly reading this one. It's called In Numeracy. It's actually a suggestion for Dr. Teupman. I got that from one of his textbooks. I think it was his first stats lecture. And he commented about that. And I'm just reading this book. It's a great book.
Does that kind of get at how to communicate with people that don't think in terms of numbers, even if you maybe do yourself? Is that?
Yes. It talks about, like, because sometimes we focus about, like, let's say, illiteracy. That's when people, they cannot read.
Right.
But sometimes when people can't do some basic mathematical operations, it's a problem as well, you know?
Yeah.
And the book is pretty much about that.
Interesting.
The issues related to mathematical illiteracy.
Very good. Well, you're breaking all the rules. You're sharing way more than you're supposed to, but that's okay. Okay, last question. In your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are less successful?
I think what set them apart, there are two features, in my opinion, and that applies not just to dairy nutritionists, but I think in any area and for any professional.
Sure.
Number one would be discipline, to have discipline and be persistent. I think those are two important features. It doesn't mean you're going to reach exactly the goal that you wanted, but certainly that's going to put you closer to that. I think those are two important features. And of course, we have random effects that we cannot control. Every statistical model has an error term. Yes, you must have a little bit of the Irish good luck as well.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for your answers and for your insights today. Appreciate you joining on the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Bradford. I appreciate it as well.
So this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us. And if you haven't clicked the like button or followed us yet, make sure you do that today so you don't miss the next episode. And we'll see you then.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.